Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I am Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Look at him. Ryan Buckley is here.
I'll get it in.
Are partying for you. We're doing sports talk.
Being men of increase, eating W's.
Being a man of increase, locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Coming up here tonight, some fans are already calling for a certain college football coach's head.
That doesn't take long, right?
No, it doesn't. But I wonder if we've entered into a new era of college football coaching expectations, maybe would be the right word.
Well, it's going to be weird now with the playoff because, you know, you can make the playoff.
That is 7-9 bull.
Well, for a school that has high expectations, is making the playoff going to be worth anything now? Like, you know, if you're Penn State, like State can't win jack. But if they go 11-1 and make the playoff and then get bounced in the first round by whoever.
Is that a good season?
So it's weird. Yeah, there's going to be the next couple years are going to be very strange when you're looking at what's considered to be good. Or, you know, for an Alabama program, does anything other than a national championship matter? Because in college basketball, it does. If you make a run to the Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight, a Final Four, depending on who you are, that's still a great year. And I think it should be that way in college football, but for some schools, I'm not certain that it will be.
Well, we'll talk about it, okay?
Yeah.
Good. Club 1080 tonight.
If only there was something going on around 6 o'clock.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I got something's on. Something's will be on. And counts are happening. And
oh, you're talking about the election.
Yeah, I am talking about the big Portland local elections. I mean, come on.
Is Sarah Iannarone going to win?
Who's going to be our new fearless leader?
Is she running again?
And are we going to have a fun nickname for them? You know, tear gas Teddy to Teddy ball game? Shut down Brown? We need a nickname stat.
Well, let's find out who wins first.
Yeah.
With that.
Then we'll go.
Yeah. So 6 o'clock, we'll talk about the power of being barefoot.
I do like being barefoot.
Do you?
I do. But the person that's barefoot all the time outside, like there's a Bills receiver that like
I was going to ask barefoot. If you'd heard about what Mac Hollins has going on.
Is that
on.
Who that is?
Yeah. He's a Bills receiver who like, I don't know, he wants to be the most primitive form of man. So he never wears shoes unless he has to.
Yeah.
And he also only eats with his hands, no utensils. Yeah, and he does a bunch of other weird stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Okay. I played with some poly guys that were like that like hated wearing shoes so much that they would lift weights. Like they would only wear shoes or slippers, as they like to call them. They would only wear shoes, like, in practice. Like, other than that, everything they did was barefoot, but I wasn't going to tell Ifo Pili to put on a pair of sneakers.
We also have, what percentage of Americans are not certain they would pass a driver's test today?
Ooh, driving or the written test?
I think it's both. Mm.
I know I'd pass the driving test. The written test?
Yeah, that's dicey. There's a lot of technicalities on there.
The driving test, you know, if you can't pass a driving test, what the hell, man?
Yeah, we can all fake it for an instructor.
Well, how hard is it to not be a jackass, right? Like, you know, 10
hard
or 2,
for some people.
Stop, you know, speed limit, everyone can
how
parallel
far up
park
your ass
a little
is
bit.
Your head?
But the written test, I don't like that written test. Like, how far from a fire hydrant or There's probably a lot of rules of the road that I got no idea what's going on.
When you're entering a construction zone, what speed are you supposed to reduce to? And it's like gives you the options of like 25, 30, or 15.
Well, whatever it says on the sign.
Dude, and you're telling me I got a raw dog that thing? I don't get a chance to peruse the. You just right now, someone puts that test down in front of me. I'm not certain that I'm passing.
I don't know that I am either.
Rabbit today.
I can tell you this. Do you think that we need to have a discussion about how often they put up the construction zone signs when there is no construction?
Yeah, I feel like they're up a lot, and then you slow down. You go through like, what is this?
I saw nothing.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
I hate that.
I think it's a preemptive sort of thing. Like, you know, you can't take it down when there's not workers. They just leave them up. Oh. By the way, I'm pulling up a practice test just to give us an idea, maybe a couple of questions.
Ooh, that could be fun.
That's good. Entertainment. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Ha! I think right now we probably, you know.
Right now.
In the middle of something, but as it goes on, we'll have less things to do. I got something's on.
The hot 5 at 5.
But like if a traffic signal at an intersection is not functioning due to power outages, what do you do?
It's a stop. It becomes a stop.
Yeah, four-way stop, right? Yeah.
It's time for the hot 5 at 5.
Depends on how many
hot 5 at 5.
Yeah, I think you just treat it as a four-way stop.
Or a two-way stop.
Very
hot. Yeah.
The hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan of Victorico's.
I like park your vehicle as far off the road.
Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
What?
Number five.
Hey, for some reason, the stupid Blazers won last night.
Yeah.
They're now 3-5.
Yeah, Delano
Benton. What are they doing?
They're winning.
Why?
Well, to be fair.
Utah won, too.
Have you seen the teams that they're beating? Like, I think New Orleans was without six of their top seven or seven of their top eight. I mean.
I know, but you still got to lay down, don't you?
Well, they tried, and then they put in Delano Benton. They should have played Scoot. He was sucking eggs.
I think you got to lay down.
And then they put Delano Benton, and he had 20 points in 12 minutes. It's the second most in a quarter behind LeBron this year.
Blazers now head to San Antonio on Thursday. Greg Popovich is out with illness, and he's out indefinitely.
Yeah, he had some sort of medical condition. And by the way, I hope he gets better because Greg Popovich, and we don't want to see anything bad happen, but doesn't he look like he's a walking medical crisis? He looks terrible. And has for like 10 years.
He kind of always has.
Yeah, he looks awful. He just looks sickly all the time. And
well, he probably is.
Pale and, you know.
Is that partially because he's always just like slack-jawed? He always seems like his mouth is
haunted. Number four.
He looks like hell.
Yet another NBA injury. Nugget star Aaron Gordon is out several weeks with a calf strain. Denver 4-3 out of the gate. Anthony Davis of the Lakers leads the league in scoring, but he's hurt again. He re-aggravated a foot injury last night.
And is there any wonder why no one watches? I mean, the NBA ratings are in the toilet. And it's just, you never know who's playing. Everyone's hurt. It's just, it is the most uninteresting league that I can remember. Like, I can't remember a time where the NBA has been this boring. And, of course, the Blazers.
Sixer star Joel Embiid suspended 3 games for shoving that reporter after the game the other night.
The problem is he wasn't playing in any of those games.
No pay.
As someone has pointed out, they should have punished him by making him play in 3 games in a row.
Jaylen Brown will be out for the Celtics tomorrow as they play Bucks-Warriors.
Hey, the Warriors, by the way, are cooking a little bit
pretty
right now.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what they're calling Steph Curry and Buddy Hield?
I don't.
Why not? You're the Warriors guy.
Because I don't get to watch games.
I'm trying to think of some sort of bosom buddy, Steph. I mean, what are they?
Well, now I forgot. I was reading an article about it.
That's great.
Well, with Clay, it was the Splash Brothers.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I think they're calling them the Splash.
What? Maybe the Splash Cousins? What sort of lame?
I got to go look it up.
Splash Cousins has been thrown around before. Let's see.
No. Hold on. I'll look it up. 72-year-old Norv Turner is coming out of retirement.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he's going to help the staff in Vegas. His son, Scott, is likely the new play caller there.
The why is because the Raiders are so inept, they just keep going back and reinventing the wheel.
Boy.
Turner is a former Duck, best known as the offensive coordinator of Jimmy Johnson's Cowboys championships.
It's the Splash Buddies.
Splash Buddies, that's what it is. Yeah, instead of Splash Brothers.
That's weird.
Because Buddy Hield,
his name is Buddy.
The Splash
Buddies. He's basically doing what Klay Thompson did for him, only better.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't better in the day, but better now. He's like the best shooter in the league.
Yeah. By the way, Norv Turner hasn't been in the NFL since like 2018.
I know, isn't that crazy?
So this is where you're
That's
at.
Where we're at.
You're diving into.
Got to bring in Daddy.
Just fire Antonio Pierce already. And number be done two. Fired everyone else.
USC benches quarterback Miller Moss.
Yeah.
Sophomore Jaden Maeva will take over. He is a transfer from UNLV, and he will start their next game against Nebraska after the bye week.
Boy, life comes at you fast, right? Like, Miller Moss was, you know, had that the nice bowl game last year, and everyone thought he was going to be the next great thing at SC, and they get the big win at the start of the season, and he just can't stop turning the ball over. So, sit down. He'll be in the transfer portal, and it will service next year at, like, he'll play at, like, Boston College or something.
The first official college football playoff rankings are out. There will be five of these each Tuesday before the big selection Sunday, which is on December 8th. Mike Riley among the guys on the committee this year, the people on the committee this year. Oregon is number one. They would play the winner of the 8-9 matchup. Right now it would be Indiana-Tennessee. They have BYU winning the Big 12 and being the 4 seed, who would play the winner of Boise State-Ohio State. Yeah. Miami would be the 3 winning the ACC. They would play the winner of Alabama-Texas. And then Georgia would be the 2, and they would play the winner of Notre Dame-Penn State.
We were talking earlier, but other people have pointed out, where you want to be if you don't have the bye is the 5 seed.
Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, the 5 seed is tasty.
You play Boise.
You get a home game against Boise, you're the weakest one. And then you're going to get the worst of the Power Four champs, probably like a BYU or an Idaho or a Iowa State. And then you got to play the number one seed probably. But that's if you're looking for a path, that 5 seed can be pretty tasty.
All right, the NFL trade deadline came and went today. There was some speculation that the Seahawks were looking to deal receiver DK Metcalf. That did not happen. The Saints have moved cornerback Marshawn Lattimore. He goes to the Commies for a 3rd and 4th round pick. The teams also swap a 5th and a 6th. The Cowboys traded a 4th round pick for Panthers wide receiver Jonathan Mingo.
Boy, I do. Of all the trades, like, that you can understand where people are going, that one makes zero sense to me or anyone else.
As expected, the Lions get pass rusher Za'Darius Smith and a 7th from the Browns for a 5th. Steelers trade for Jets receiver Mike Williams and pass rusher Preston Smith from the Packers. They give up a 5th and a 7th. The Niners get Texans defensive lineman Khalil Davis for a 7th in 2026. And the Ravens landed Pro Bowl corner Tre'Davious White from the Rams.
Yeah, it just hasn't been very good since the injuries. But I really like the Lattimore pickup, and then the Smith to the lesser, I guess not the lesser, the greater, I should say, of the Smith brothers who used to play together. That's a nice pickup for Detroit, who really needed some edge help after the injury to Aiden Hutchinson. So those are the two moves that I actually think, from a contender standpoint, really could make a difference.
Victor Rico's Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Are we changing expectations for college football coaches? That's next on The Fan. Nice to have you along. It really is. Thank you for being here with us. Well, it's the end of an era at Michigan State. Hello?
What?
It is?
Jonathan Smith.
Is he gone already?
Fired. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like I missed that one.
No, the fans want him fired, though.
After 8 games?
Well, I think it's 9.
Is it 9?
And I believe that they just got boat raced by Indiana at home.
I would like to point out that...
And they are now 4-5.
Undefeated Indiana?
Yeah. You,
yeah, but it's still Indiana.
You had a lot of faith in Sparty, and you continue to doubt Indiana.
Yeah, I do.
47-10.
Yeah, no, I saw. Yeah. It was 10-0 Sparty.
Yeah.
And I was doing...
It's funny. I saw that, and I actually thought to myself, because you were laughing at my faith in Indiana, and I was like, God damn it. Like, Rob's right. And then I looked up, because I didn't watch the game, and then I looked up, and I was like, oh, well, that's better. So it's 24-10. You're like, oh, whew.
So they want to fire Jonathan Smith.
After 9 games.
Now, my question is, have we changed expectations for college football coaches? Because when you look at Cignetti, mm-hmm. you know, that guy comes into Indiana, of all places. They only won 3 or 4 games last year.
Yeah.
They're 9-0.
Mm-hmm. They haven't played anybody, but...
Well, but still.
Yeah.
Like, that was fast. Mm-hmm. And with transfers, mm-hmm. look at how quickly Dan Lanning has built up Oregon.
Yeah, to be fair, he didn't take over a program that was was on the ropes.
But it doesn't take long, is the point.
Sure.
So how long do coaches get now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid point. Again, I think it's job to job. Like,
well, is there such a thing? Okay, let me ask it this way.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as building a program anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when you're in the Power Four,
well,
get some transfers and make us good.
If you are at a school like Michigan State, and Michigan State is not a bad program. It's a good program, but it is a building program. There is a difference between, how would you say, like programs that are, it's like buying a new house. Like, they're move in ready. Right. And you may have to put your own touches on them. You have to paint some walls or, you know, whatever, you know, you can landscape a little bit, but it's a move in ready house. And then there's projects, and the vast majority of schools are projects. And so if you're at a project school and you're expecting move-in ready results, dude, you're a dumbass. And yeah, you can find guys that are really dynamic, or you get lucky with some transfers and they're able to now with the transfer portal bring over their own guys, like with Indiana bringing over James Madison guys. I mean, Colorado is having a nice turnaround. And again, largely he brought in his son, who's one of the best quarterbacks, and Travis Hunter, and Dion was a force of nature and was able to do something in year two. And he's done a nice job now. Give him his flowers. But for a guy like Jonathan Smith, I mean, Jonathan Smith is the definition of a program builder. But that, like, you can't look at what he did at Oregon State and be like, what he did was wrong, but it's not going to be in a year. So if you want a quick turnaround, you better not hire a Jonathan Smith. You better go out and find a young, dynamic guy that runs really innovative offenses that goes out and recruits his ass off. So you can't hire someone like Jonathan Smith at Michigan State and then be upset when it takes him 2 or 3 years to change the culture and get it pointed in the right direction.
So there's different archetypes of hires now.
100%.
That's interesting.
Yes. Like if you,
what is Jed Fish? And what is Washington? Like, where are they in this?
Well, I think Washington hoped that they would stabilize it a little bit more, but I think Fish is a guy that's a bit of a builder. Like, why would you think that Jed Fish is going to turn anything around in 1 year? Even Jed Fish told you up at Washington that it was going to be a slow build, that this wasn't going to be just a quick turnaround, like an end all to be all sort of thing. So, I mean, if you're UW, yeah, it shouldn't take 4 years to turn a program around at the University of Washington. But with what you had and the schedule you played, if anyone at Washington thought that they were going to be a 10-win team, I that's on you. That's just having poor expectations.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Jonathan Smith.
Well, and that's a shame.
We hardly knew you.
And I hope it doesn't turn into that. I
think it is going to with fan bases. No. Their fan bases, you That's know
ignorant.
How they are.
That's ignorant then.
Well, but you think fans are smart?
No, but there's a difference between a fan base being upset and then allowing that to bleed over into the powers that be that actually make hires.
Yeah, but it happens.
Yeah.
But pressure.
Like Billy Napier, I mean, he got a couple years at Florida. It's not working. Probably should move on. But even at schools like Florida, it can take a little bit. Sark took a little bit at Texas, right? Like, there was some talk of what the hell's wrong with you. And that's at Texas. You know, Brian Kelly hasn't won anything down at LSU. I thought he won a Heisman Trophy. But Brian Kelly's a damn good coach, and LSU's really, really stinking good as a program. But, you know, they may get to – last year was not the year they wanted. And this year – if they lose here, they're out of the playoffs at a three loss.
Yes, Sark, basically two seasons, and then he went 12-2.
And the third year, right?
Yeah, third year, Sugar Bowl.
So I believe,
so is that the expectation?
I think within 3 to 4 years, if you don't have it pointed in the right direction, now for Michigan State, I mean, my God, it shouldn't be, you know, going to the Sugar Bowl, but yes, in going into that third or fourth year with Jonathan Smith, if you're getting blown out by Indiana by 30 plus points, yeah, you should probably be upset. You want to see progress each and every year. But Michigan State is not Texas. They're not LSU. It is a program builder. In fact, why do I always get D'Antonio and D'Antoni mixed up? How long did it take him? Because he had the best run.
Michigan State guy? Mark, yeah. D'Antonio?
D'Antonio. He had the best run there. I mean, his run there was incredible. Made a college football playoff.
He went his first 3 years, 7-6, 9-4, 6-7.
Okay.
And so, then 11 wins, yeah. 7, 13, 11, and 12.
So, yeah, he took over from John L. Smith, who went 5-7, 5-6, 4-8, got canned. And like you said, 7-6, I guess that's not bad. And then the 9-win year down. I wonder if we could go back and look at that 6-7 year. I wonder what people were saying. That third year.
Follows up a 9-4 with a 6-7. Say, yeah. Fire his ass.
And then he pops off.
And like then he went 11-2.
11-2, 11-3, 7-6, 13-1, 11-2, 12-2. And then he had, then he kind of the fall off there, and eventually it wasn't good enough. 2 7-6 seasons got him fired.
Yep.
So.
Well, I think he retired, didn't he?
Did he retire?
I thought he did.
He might have. But yeah, he had 2 7-6 seasons, and then he kind of, either he bowed out or, yeah, I think you're right. He may have just stepped down. But I always wonder when that happens, how much of that is, are you really stepping down or, are we like, eh?
Yeah, it's just an interesting time,
Yeah.
And what fans expect from their coach.
Yeah.
With NIL and the transfer portal. If you get the right guy, it should be instant. Well, not instant, but it shouldn't take long.
It can be quick.
Doesn't take that many transfers.
No, the transfer portal, but also remember the Mike Norvell thing. Be wary of the transfer portal quick fix.
Oh, yeah.
Mel Tucker had it.
Mel
Tucker had that transfer class with Kenneth Walker and all those guys.
It works both ways. Wait for Indiana.
Yeah, we'll see. Because it's one thing when you come in with the transfer portal, but in order to build a program that's sustainable, Dave Bartu says this all the time, you have to be able to recruit. And the transfer portal year to year, it's just not a sustainable model.
Oh, break. Okay. You want us to break already?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the clock says.
What about Brent Brennan at Arizona?
Well, then you better talk about
it. Well, my.
What about that?
What do you mean?
Well, how long does he get?
Or we could talk about him next.
Well, we're moving on next. I got NFL. Yes. Again.
So what do we think of Brent Brennan?
No one should get fired until you've had 3 years.
3 years?
Yes. Minimum.
Okay.
3 years. After the third year, if there's no progress, feel free. Flush it.
You don't got to be great. Trent Bray.
You don't got to be great in year three. Again, 3 years. If you're hiring a guy, unless it's an unmitigated disaster, you give him 3 years. And I don't fire him after 3 years if there's progress moving forward. I don't need 9 wins, but I need to see recruiting and I need to see progress going forward. Otherwise, flush it.
This is Lincoln Riley's third year.
I think next year is absolutely huge. If Lincoln Riley falls on his face next year, if I'm USC, I say thanks, but no thanks.
He went 11-3.
Yep.
Then 8-5.
Yep.
And now 4-5.
Next year to me is absolutely enormous, and I would have no problem firing him if next year is another 500 season.
Does he get fired this offseason?
Nah. They owe him a lot of money, too. It's like $80-something million.
Who would coach USC next?
I don't know. I don't know where you go. I'm interested in what that job even is, like what people think of it.
Well, Lincoln Riley thought a lot of it.
Well, you know what? And he's not winning recruiting battles there in California either.
That's one of the more puzzling ones.
I really thought that there would be better results. I think a lot of people did.
Kind of feels like West Coast Florida right now, where there's just the pedigree's there, but there's so many cooks in the kitchen, it's hard to get progress and things done. I don't know.
I just don't understand.
It seems like something's off there, even though it used to be on for a long time.
But something's been off there every year, with the exception of the Pete Carroll years.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bad before Pete Carroll got there.
Yeah. That's why I wonder.
I mean, maybe they're just an overrated program.
But he's
a hell of a coach.
He is. I just wonder what that job really is.
Well, I think he's a hell of a coordinator. I don't know if he's a hell of a coach.
Well, Oklahoma. I mean, come on, man.
He was great.
He was great. At Oklahoma.
He was great at Oklahoma.
I mean, he took over for Stoops, right?
Yeah. And Stoops.
And he had success with that. Why did he leave Oklahoma then?
Well, because it's U.S. freaking C.
Okay. Is that a better job than Oklahoma?
Apparently not.
It is. It is a better job in every way than Oklahoma.
You think he regrets leaving? Because I bet he does.
I think he's sitting there right now being like, hell, I got to figure out a way to get a quarterback in here and win.
He went Oklahoma 12-2, 12-2, 12-2, 9-2. That was COVID. 10-2 and left.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. And with multiple.
And that's when they brought Bob Stoops back. Remember
with
that?
Multiple Heisman trophies.
They brought Bob Stoops back when Riley left to coach the bowl game.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
The great Bob Stoops.
Didn't look good for Oklahoma after that either.
Venables, I do know that.
Jackass.
Venables 6-7, 10-3, 5-4.
Yep.
And that is hot Brent Brennan talk.
I know you want me to break, but I don't care.
We should probably break.
Why?
Because now
what do you care?
Because now you're just going over to go over.
What is Colorado Rockies?
I'm not. This is hot sports talk.
You're just doing this,
this is what
now
the people
to
want.
Spite Buckley. I'm turning off my mic.
All right, I'll turn my mic off too. Coming up next, we get to our NFL falafel. We will talk about the stupid Bears. On the Fan, here's Buck.
What? I'm fake news and you're fake news. Roving reporter Dusty Harrod.
Yeah, it's just, it's not right, though.
Banton's 20 fourth quarter points were the second most by an NBA player this season. I said that. LeBron, I think, had 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right here. Banton is the first trailblazer to score 20-plus points in 12 or fewer minutes in team history.
Okay, but that's not true because I'm looking at a list here that says Damian Lillard has 26 quarters where he has scored 20 points or more. There are 12 minutes in a quarter.
This is from the Blazers PR staff.
They couldn't possibly be wrong.
You're telling me that the Blazers PR staff couldn't figure out what you figured out in like 2 seconds?
Yes. I think that's fake news.
No, I'm calling fake news on your fake news.
Lillard's had 26 quarters where he has scored 20 or more points. That's 12 minutes. So how on earth could Banton be the only player to score 20 or more points in 12 minutes?
Someone reach out to Blazers PR. I don't know what to tell you.
How about you reach out to him? You're reporting this fake news.
Oh, right here.
I'm pissed off.
I got it right here. Roving reporter Dusty Hara calling fake news on you calling fake news.
Well, it's wrong.
And I heard it on Danny and Dusty. Therefore, I'm saying
I
their
think
news
fire
is,
that show.
Is accurate.
Fire that show. You can't be disseminating fake news to the people. Not up in here.
Well, so now we still don't know.
No, we do know. The stat's wrong.
It's a good day for a fake news off.
Yeah, it is
a good day for a fake news off.
Well, now to our NFL falafel.
I do like a good falafel.
Me too.
Maybe I'll get a falafel tonight. I was getting a cheesesteak. My lady's out of town, so I'm responsible for dinner for me and Oren Ishii there. And that basically just means I'm picking up food. So I was leaning towards cheesesteak, but I could go to falafel. It's delightful.
Did that Bears Hail Mary, did that cost them their season?
It's possible.
Because it sure feels like it.
Well, let me tell you something. They weren't going anywhere anyways.
No.
Well, that's fair.
But, I mean,
they almost won that game.
They had Washington beat, and Washington we consider a contender. And who was it? I don't remember if it was Caleb or DJ Moore came out and said that they did. They came out flat because of that. Said they did not put it behind them. I think that was Caleb Williams that said that they came out flat because of it. And then DJ Moore, when asked if Matt Eberflus had lost the locker room, he did not say no. He gave some sort of weird cryptic, like, I hope not. Like, it's bad. It's all kinds of bad there. And if you're the Bears, you got to fire Eberflus.
I think you do. Did you see his stat? When they lost this last weekend, they lost to Arizona and they got smoked.
He has some really bad stats.
The stat is that the Bears are 0-18 under Eberflus in Sunday road games.
Yeah, he's never won a regular Sunday road game.
Yeah.
Ever.
He's never.
No.
Their last win, they had Nick Foles.
Yeah, it's, well, and you look.
He's also never beat a good quarterback.
And you look at the development now of Caleb Williams, it's regressing, and they're just bad body language across the team.
Really bad. Like, when you watch him, Caleb Williams looks like he's about ready to punch someone.
Yep. And now, you know, DJ Moore, and it's just, it's not good. And Eberflus is the defensive guy. In the last couple weeks, I think you've seen a regression in their defense. I mean, it's a good defensive team, and they just got mauled. Absolutely mauled in that game. And you see it sometimes where good defenses get tired of crappy offense and it can affect them. And I just think there needs to be a cultural change there. I think their GM is good, but Eberflus, I mean, there was debate whether or not Eberflus was the guy last year. And I'll never understand why, when you have serious questions about your offensive abilities, why you keep a guy that's on the hot seat and then go draft your future quarterback. Start new. Go get an offensive guy that can sit and develop Caleb Williams. And Eberflus is not that guy. And then you go get a guy with a sketchy, you know, past as far as being an OC in Waldron. It's just not a good situation. They need to, I would keep the GM and I would absolutely blow out that entire staff and go get an offensive minded guy. And for the love of God, stop getting receivers. Go get offensive linemen. Otherwise, Caleb Williams, it doesn't matter. Like, when you're running for your life, CJ Stroud had one of the best rookie seasons we've seen. And you look at him this year and you're like, what has happened to him? The O-line has happened. And you're going to get a guy in Caleb Williams that's going to start developing really, really piss-poor habits playing behind that line.
Well, who is the Lions offensive coordinator flirting with?
Ben Johnson.
Yeah, who was he flirting with? He almost got hired, and then he went back.
Well, a lot of people wanted him before.
I think it was Washington. It was Washington.
Was it Washington?
Yeah, he was the guy that I think on the plane and was like, nah.
Yeah.
And by the way,
because that's the guy.
Yeah, go get Ben Johnson.
If
you
can.
What he's doing, you would think, right? Detroit, Chicago, what he's doing with that offense in Detroit, it's the best offense in the league this side of Baltimore, which is putting up just stupid numbers.
Ooh, that's a good question. Whose offense you want? One game.
God bless America. Statistically, it's Baltimore's. You know, Baltimore right now, the only two offenses we've seen like in the last 30 years that are statistically better than this is The Greatest Show on Turf. And I think that I know it's The Greatest Show on Turf the one year, and it might be the year that the Patriots had Randy Moss and they were undefeated. Those are the only two as far as like EPA and some of the advanced metrics. I mean, what Baltimore is doing is just dumb. I think they're averaging like 7.5 yards per play. I mean, they're ridiculous. But I really like Detroit's offense.
It feels harder to stop.
It does.
Like Detroit feels literally unstoppable.
So, I mean, it's a flip of the coin, but I think I would take Detroit's. I would. But, I mean, you can't go wrong. They're the two best offenses. And if you're Chicago, just go take a butt ton of money and throw it at Ben Johnson and be like, by the way, we give you Caleb Williams to work with. Here's 4 years. You know, we're going to give you a bunch of money, and all you got to do, because it's a good roster, right? We're going to revamp our O-line a little bit. We can go do that in free agency. You have a good defense and get that guy playing right. I mean, it just seems to be a no-brainer. Matt Eberflus is not the guy. He's just not. Move on.
Lions were out in the weather in Green Bay. Looked good.
What I loved about it is
so much for a dome team.
Right? And Goff talked about that after the game. He said, and by the way, he is a notoriously poor cold weather guy and in the rain.
I saw someone push back on that recently that it's not, you're right to a degree, but it's more that he's awesome in the dome and he's just kind of more average when he's outside in the cold.
And they were great. They were more physical than Detroit, or more physical than Green Bay. And they put that thing away with that first drive coming out of the half. And I'm telling you, Detroit's defense is real. They've improved their secondary. The middle of that defense is great. The only thing that they're lacking is an edge rusher, and they go out and get Za'Darius Smith. I'm telling you right now, it's a bold statement, the best team in the NFL is the Detroit Lions.
Mm.
It's the best team. Now, Kansas City is undefeated, and they just, until someone does it, Kansas City's king. But who I think looks best right now, Detroit, but we can say that Kansas City continues to look kind of average, and yet they find ways to win.
Well, Detroit wouldn't have to play them to the last game of the season.
No, I would love to see that game. But right now, I really do. I think that if we're not going Kansas City who's undefeated and they're Kansas City, for God's sakes, I really think the best teams in football are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Detroit Lions, and then I'm going to go the Baltimore Ravens and then the Buffalo Bills. I think those are the elite teams of the NFL.
You know what the Lions record is against the spread since Halloween of 2021?
It's insane.
65 games.
What do we got?
You want to take a stab?
I saw something
against
nuts like
the spread?
Like, or sorry, 55 games, yeah.
Since like Dan Campbell got there, they're like 70% against the spread or something like that. Jeez. It's crazy.
Since Halloween of 2021, the Lions are 40-15 against the spread.
Yowzers. I didn't realize that. And there's another guy in Dan Campbell that people were made fun of and were getting ready to blow out after a year. And now look at him.
Well, going back to Ben Johnson, that's the guy.
Somehow keeping him there and keeping him out of Washington
was
amazing.
Will he go to New Orleans? Will he go to Chicago if Chicago moves on? Like I could see him in Chicago with Caleb.
It would make sense. Like if I'm Ben Johnson, I'm not touching that New Orleans job. There's $60 million over the cap. They got nothing. I want nothing to do with a crappy organization like that, the Raiders. Chicago is a good job. When that opens up, that is a phenomenal job. All the pieces are there. All you got to do is upgrade the O-line, and you're cooking there in Chicago. You're cooking on someone else's grill. And yeah, someone pointed out when Detroit tore up the Vikings the way they did, Dude, their defense has made almost every quarterback in this league look foolish, and Detroit carved it up.
All right. We'll wrap it up next. There was we were talking about Lincoln Riley, USC. There was a name that popped up on the text line for USC's next coach. I got to tell you, man.
Interesting.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
All right. I'm intrigued.
We'll get to that next on The Fan. Yeah, all this hot coach talk's got us all squirrely in here. It's hot.
I'm certainly aroused.
But, yeah, you know, we were talking about Lincoln Riley and, you know, what the hell the USC job even is. And, yeah, it's just weird. Pete Carroll's the only guy that's really grabbed a hold of that thing and done anything with it for basically the better part of 30 years.
Yeah. The offense was ripping.
I mean, if you even go back past, like before Pete Carroll.
Well, yeah, John, I mean, you went all the way back to the glory days.
Yeah, but that's like way more than 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's a long time ago. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking here year by year. So after Pete, well, if you want to go before Pete, was
before
like
Pete.
Paul Hackett.
He's terrible.
So Paul Hackett, 5-7, 6-6, 8-5, and then John Robinson.
So you got to go mid-90s, John Robinson. They won the Rose Bowl. They were good.
Yeah.
Mid-90s. Dude.
But John Robinson the first time around was...
So it is. It's about 30 years ago.
Yeah, was better in the 70s. But yeah, since Carroll, Lehner went 8-5, 10-2. 7-6.
I mean, they've won games. Clay Helton won games. Yeah. Sark won games. Yeah. Riley even went 11-3.
But it's just the Pac-12 title game.
It's just the expectation. Maybe it's that's what it is. Maybe it's just the program is telling you what it is, and it's skewed because of what Pete Carroll did there. He was special. Outside of what Pete Carroll did there, maybe it is just what Clay Helton was doing. That's what USC is.
Well, and you wonder too if Pete is a different era. I mean, you know, obviously the college football world has changed so much since 2009, and we've made adjustments with what we think of Nebraska, what we think of Notre Dame, what we think of a lot of those programs, but with USC we don't, because it's the idea of Los Angeles, right? There's always that lure of, well, it's in Los Angeles. I just don't know if that matters to kids. I mean, kids are flocking out of Los Angeles. Like, they are not winning these recruiting battles.
And the college football money will find you wherever you are now. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're in Tuscaloosa or L.A.
No. So and by the way, Oregon has a more robust NIL than USC does.
But if you're saying that the state of college football has changed how recruiting works, wouldn't that then also apply to other fertile recruiting grounds that maybe the hometown team isn't at an advantage?
Bottom line is people are picking more kids out of LA, and LA is not going into the backyard of the big boys and stealing from them.
Okay, so that could maybe explain why the Florida schools are down.
Yeah.
Because Florida has just as much, they have more talent than LA, and Florida State sucks.
Yeah.
Florida's down.
Yep. Miami's up.
Miami's pretty good.
Yep.
But you get my point. I mean, normally they're like college football, like blue bloods, and those are not.
I think more and more people are realizing that it's more about who is at the helm of that thing. And when you don't have someone that's truly elite, you're going to get middling results.
Yeah, I think that we did this years ago, but I remember on our show we did a whole thing of what matters to recruits, and recruits were surveyed, and most of them, the biggest thing was close to home.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge thing for recruits. Mm-hmm. Maybe that has changed.
Yeah.
Because
that certainly has changed.
Maybe the ability to stay connected to your families via social media, or
you got more kids now that are going to IMG type academies, kind of like AAU basketball and the 7-on-7 stuff. It's just become a more global community in the world. And it's, you know, every game's on TV now, right? You don't have to be close to home.
That's a big one.
NIL money, you've got more ability to fly home. Mom and dad can fly out and see you. Schools are allowed to do that.
And maybe,
so it's just changed.
Maybe kids are also, you know, wanting to, more so than the last generation, wanting to get out to something different.
Absolutely.
Like, I lived here my whole life. Maybe I'm gonna try something new.
Yeah.
Go to Oregon.
Yep. Absolutely. Someone else said, remember that when LA was a big deal, or when USC was a big deal, LA didn't have two football teams. You have the Chargers and Rams now, and the Dodgers and the Lakers. And
so what would that do for recruiting, though?
Well, you're no longer, like, the idea was, like, when you hear Leinert and Bush, I mean, they were kings of Los Angeles, right? I mean, kings. And now, you know, if you're a big deal, I mean, I'm sure it was good to be Caleb Williams in L.A., and Caleb Williams won a Heisman Trophy, but when you're battling now all of the Chargers, all of the Rams, all the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Clippers, all of that. Are you just, I'm asking a question. Would you rather be a big deal in Eugene on the Oregon campus, or would you rather be a big deal? And so you are the big fish in a very small pond in Eugene, or do you want to be fighting for the attention of people in LA that don't really care? They're not coming to USC games. USC is not the lead story on any of the new stuff. I mean, like, oh, we're going to all these clubs, but you aren't the one that's the must-see attraction there. I'm just not certain if that's,
yeah,
you know, because when you think about the biggest programs in college and kind of being cock of the walk, you went to Kansas, for God's sakes.
Speaking of cock of the walk.
Cock of the walk.
Big man on campus.
What was it like to be Paul Pierce in Lawrence?
Yeah, he was,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I just wonder, because when you think about in college basketball,
he was
right,
the man,
the biggest blue buds in college basketball, or any of them in a major market?
They're not college towns.
You know, with the exception of UCLA, which has fallen on hard times, but they're there. But everything else, same thing with football. Tuscaloosa, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Columbus, although Columbus is a decent-sized city.
They got a lot of players up there, though.
You know, you got a lot of stuff up there. And so you look at some of these things, and I just wonder if the idea of being in L.A. just doesn't carry the same thing that we all assume it does.
This would go back to something you were talking about. It's more about the who's there and, you know, somebody who makes USC cool again.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll definitely made that place cool. But that is a good point that they weren't as competitive against the pro teams there then. But he still made them cool. Like,
yes,
I still
did
feel like if they had the Rams, they USC, that would not take away from what Pete Carroll did.
Yeah.
He made it cool to be there.
Yes.
And everybody wanted to play there. And Snoop was on the sideline.
Will Ferrell and all these guys. And it was...
You know who that guy is? Somebody brought this up on the text line. We were talking about Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said this a year ago.
Yeah.
But he's had a pretty good year. It's freaking prime, dude.
Yeah, he has.
Prime
he
to
cool.
USC would
I
be...
I that bull junk you wrote.
I tell you what.
He
if USC
cool.
is looking to do something different, that's the guy.
Yeah.
If you want to recreate... You know, kind of.
If you want the glitz and glam,
the glitz,
hype, yes.
Yeah, and that's what Pete Carroll did. He embraced that, and Dion would bring that in spades.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, Dion can recruit.
Yeah.
And Dion is a pretty good coach, it turns out.
Yeah, he's having a year. It certainly would be interesting. I mean, we'll see what happens here. You know, after Shadur leaves, but yeah, like USC was a cool place, and when you think of cool programs right now in college football, and look, I'm all for tradition. USC is not cool.
No,
they're not. The tradition thing isn't cool.
Oregon's cool.
Oregon's cool right now. And it's not, it's not USC. I mean, I talked to Nemec about this, you know, a time or two about like what matters to kids. And there is a cool factor there. Like I know Washington fan doesn't want to hear this. I think Washington going to Adidas was a really bad move for them. Like they wanted to be like the one of the big Adidas schools, but it is not cool. It's just it's not a cool brand.
That
kids want to wear. It's just not, and that has an effect. That and right now with USC and the one jersey and the no names on the back and kind of the stuffy, you know, kind of the we're USC thing, it's not working right now on a lot of those kids. And you know, I think that a major culture shift in LA and someone to embrace the glitz and glam of LA. And I thought Lincoln Riley would do that. And it just hasn't clicked.
All right, let's get into the club. We'll talk about the power of barefoot and what percentage of Americans are not sure they'd pass a driver's test today. And I think we may fall into that. Well, 100% of us are not sure we'd pass a driver's test.
Oh, I've got the driver's test pulled up.
So we'll get to that next in the club on the Fan.